Allow me to read the core text for New Song Church. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and he heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Would you join me in welcoming to the platform our founding pastor, Dieter Zander, and former lead pastor, George Herrackson. It was some 32 years ago that Dieter responded to a call of the Lord to launch a church that intended to speak of the relevance of the good news of Jesus Christ to this generation. And it was on the corner of Baseline and Benson, many of us remember that story well, where in viewing a stone building, this image came for a church. And Dieter, you responded to that call, and we would love to hear what God stirred in your heart and how you have seen that thing realized through New Song these years.
Okay. It's hard to talk. It's my stroke. But 32 years ago, I'm going to seminary, I'm going to coach the soccer team. It's a Claremont college. And I'm thinking Friday I go home. My house is Upland. And I'm thinking it's Wednesday. I'm thinking 32 years today. And I'm going to stop, and the light is red. I go, and my God going to vision to me. And it's new, okay? And I'm going to my vision. I'm going to that, church or building, and I'm watching the stage and lights and the practicing, going to the music and the acting and the chairs. I go, I go home, I go, wow. But I'm going to talk with my pastor. It's Logan. It's Bob Logan. And he is new. But I'm going to talk with him. I'm going to talk with him Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. And I'm thinking it's Logan is, I don't know, it's... Well, I'm thinking it's not vision. I'm thinking it's my vision, not vision. It's sorry. Yeah, I think I don't know, but I'm thinking it's God's vision. But I go to talk to him. It's going to what I do. He goes, Dieter, my staff going to talk with God. Starting the church, going to the Claremont. And Dieter, it's you going to talk. You're going to starting the church. And well, I am going to seminary. I'm thinking I'm going to leading the band, not going to that starting the church. But I am starting, and One, two, three, four, five, 6 years ago, well, starting, and we go to this school, and Saturday and Sunday, I'm going to the Saturday and watching the people going to serve, going to the stage and going to the lights and people going to practice and going to the chairs, and I go, God talking with me, Dieter, you're done. Your vision is done. And I go, whoa. And I'm talking with the people. It's God, help Dieter, you're finished. I go, well, that's great. But I go to preaching and going to leading the church. But I'm thinking, it's my vision is gone, you know. But it's 2 years, I go, I am going to, it's Willow Creek. But it's funny, but he's going to vision to me. I'm starting the church, but I'm, what's that word? I am blessed going to that cardboard thing. It's not me, it's God's story, but I'm happy I'm starting the church. Yeah.
Dieter, we're glad that you followed the Lord's leading because we've been able to watch God's story unfold through the years. When you transitioned to Willow Creek, an executive team was formed. Frank Salvaggio was part of that team. Frank would join us today. He wasn't able to make it down for the event, but wrote a letter. And with your permission, I'll read this letter from Frank Salvaggio. Dear New Song family, it's still hard for me to believe that New Song is celebrating its 30-year anniversary. I joined New Song in its infancy as it held services at Cal Poly Pomona. I was in my 20s. And seeking a place to belong and find a purpose. And after the first service, I knew this was my home. At the time, I was the activities coordinator at Citrus College and would later become an assistant professor at Riverside City College in a similar capacity. After 2 years at Riverside, Dieter contacted me, and in a manner only Dieter could, he convinced me that God wanted me to join his pastoral team. It was a hard decision, but one I could not pass up. After some time passed, Dieter accepted another position, and I was asked to become the lead pastor of New Song. To be honest, as I look back now, I was in way over my head, but honored to be given the opportunity. I pray to this day I made some small difference. Those years would become the greatest journey of my leadership life. New Song was and remains a unique and caring ministry, and one I know is in good hands. My prayer for New Song moving forward is George, Dennis, and all that call New Song their home will continue to create a place of belonging that is so deep they are compelled to share the good news of Jesus Christ to those they know because of the love and compassion they have experienced at New Song. I do hope this day will be great for all involved. Frank Salvaggio. You know, we recounted story after story as in preparation for this Sunday. And I recall it was back in 88 that I was a student over at Azusa Pacific and helping students there plug into local churches. And one of the landing places for many of them was New Song. And I would take a group of them, go over to Cal Poly, try to integrate them into the services, and all the while began listening to this remarkable church that had an astounding representation of what I really was longing for myself. As I was plugging in others, I saw here a deep passion to live out the relevance of the gospel of Jesus. And people who would do that in tangible ways. Not this passivity I saw in westernized Christianity, but people who rose up and said, I want to be a difference maker for the kingdom. And I saw at New Song a significant movement of God and people willing to live that out in tangible and practical ways. And honestly, I was ruined because God got a grip of my heart. And I made this decision to transition from what had been my plan at the time and plug in to a church that I saw as becoming difference makers for Jesus. And being able to be part of the church over the years as I have, being able to watch the examples lived out here of deep community, of people in relationship going the distance, of people that even during the financial crisis and hardship that our country faced would give up stuff themselves in order to care for one another, and living out this example that we saw way back in the early church, but now lived out today, where people were making that type of sacrifice for one another. There was a group here that when one of its members came down with cancer, all the guys in the group banded together and shaved their heads in a sign of solidarity and care and love for the gal that was walking through that. When Doug Faber was diagnosed, 19 of us rose up and stayed the night so as to help him walk through the end days of his journey on earth. These were expressions of love that I think ought to mark the Christian community. Like, I think the world needs a God for today. A God who has an answer for the sophistication, the difficulty, the complexity of it all. And I think that this church has carried that banner as we've lived out God's call. And it's been a remarkable journey for me. We came up with words like risk everything to live that out. We came up with team, and we've watched shared ministry at a measure that has, I think, proclaimed the fact that Jesus is the Lord, the lead of the church, and we all get to be part of it. I mean, it is a privileged place to sit in this seat because we've had a front eye to all that God's been doing. And George and I, you and I, over those years, right, gotten a partner in ministry, and I would think of you as this guy who held a newspaper in one hand and a Bible in the other, and he had this practical word to help us live out life as winsome ambassadors, a term that you introduced to New Song. And you called us to this intellectual integrity, right, that it was okay to have doubts in our faith. That is actually more honest. And that we can bring that honesty to the Lord and be present to him. In fact, you introduced the Q&A time at our services. And that that worked against this passivity, and it called us to account for what we were hearing in Scripture so that we wouldn't sit idly by, but we would rise up. And I'd love to hear your reflections on how you've seen this passage lived out in New Song's history as we've put our feet on a rock and trusted the Lord and watched his work.
I listened to you guys, and Dieter had the vision from God. You and Frank called out of, you know, the jobs that you had. As I said, my journey to New Song was more prosaic, more mundane. I came to New Song because I liked a girl who was going there. And they allowed me to play drums, so they didn't have that in the Catholic Church. So New Song drew me in a more mundane way, but on the very first week, it was literally 29 years ago in October. I celebrate my 31 years in the Lord in October, but also 29 here at New Song, which is huge. And I walked in on that first weekend, and I don't normally do stuff like this, but I came into the front row, and I think we'd only have about 60 people, maybe tops, at that time. I walked into the front row. There happened to be a guest speaker. I didn't know it, and I sat next to the lead pastor. It was Dieter, and I didn't know him. And I sat next to him, and he introduced himself just as Dieter. And before I knew it, I didn't realize, but that was the lead pastor. And then he had me playing drums in a couple of weeks. come on and play. And so that introduced an ethos about not just observing, but serving in the community. And, you know, lo and behold, it was funny. I pulled out a manila envelope I had in the garage, and it had notes from your sermons from years ago. And I would be playing drums. I thought, well, you never know one day when I might teach. And then lo and behold, one day I was able to teach instruction from Paul many times, and then I became lead pastor. And so it was an important journey in my life. And I think it was Anna this week who posted something on her Facebook. It kind of put a little icing on the cake for me. She posted her son, Jacob, drumming, and a little quote of him saying that, well, if I can drum, if Pastor George can drum and preach, I can do it too. And I thought, right on, yes, you do it too. And so that legacy lives on, just about of pulling others into what God's doing, already doing in the world, and that's great. So I thank you for that, Dieter, and also your partnership, Dennis, with that.
Over the years, we've done a lot of reflecting on our namesake verse, Psalm 40. I love that it's actually a prayer by David to God, acknowledging God's faithfulness in his past, but he's in the throes of some pretty hard things, things that resulted from his own sin. Like, he's not a perfect guy, even though called a man with a whole heart, right? But in his trip-ups and his failures, again and again, he would return to the Lord in worship. And an acknowledgement that God was God, he wasn't, but he needed God. And I think that the proclamation that God saved us from the muck and mire is actually a present reality. Like, we're not done with that process. And that he continues to save us from the muck and mire. Mm-hmm. Our bad decisions, our selfish ambition, the wrong turns that we make. I know that you have a story of the of God's faithfulness in your life and how he saves you continually from the life's muck and mire. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, okay. It's my stroke. It's soon. It's 8, 9 years soon. The stroke. Years ago, I'm going to pastor Sunday, going to what I do, going home, going to bed, the stroke. I'm waking up, a hospital, I'm thinking I'm talking. It's nothing, it's blah, 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 blah. My hand is numb. Its reading is gone. Writing is nothing. I am dead, you know. I'm waking up, I'm alive, but what I do, it's gone. And God talking with me, you're a sheep. I go, okay. I'm thinking I talked with you years ago. It's sheep, sheep, sheep. But I'm thinking I'm a sheep. I'm a super sheep. I'm a super sheep. Yeah. Years ago. But it's now, it's gone. It's now, it's kryptonite. Kryptonite? Kryptonite?
Kryptonite?
Yeah. It's, yeah, it's now. I am a sheep now, but he is teaching me. He goes, I love you. I love your... I am... Well, what I do now, years ago, I'm a pastor and that. I am a janitor now. And he goes, Dieter, what do you do years ago, going to the starting of the church? It's great, but today going to your janitor, it's good too. He's teaching me everything is holy. Everything is holy. And I love you. And he's teaching me yesterday, today, tomorrow. It's, yeah, you know? Yeah.
Amen. I've watched you early on, years ago. As you were doing a bit of reflecting on your past, the words, do better, do more, yeah, was something that you kind of had to reconcile with. And I remember you teaching that, and the clarity of that for me was mostly because I could relate to that, right? This voice in my head about never living up, therefore being responsible has kind of been this drive for me over the years, and in confession, even at New Song. And for me, God's journey of healing ongoing to save me from that muck and mire is to remind me that I'm not just what I do. There's someone here that needs to hear that. That you're not just reduced to that which you can produce and perform, and that God loves you exactly who you are. And actually, we're all sheep in need of a Savior, in need of God, in need of His healing power and love in our lives. And I foremost in that line. I need a God who today can remind me that I, as a sheep, can rely on Him as my shepherd and draw strength from Him, support from Him. I kind of think that New Song needs to hear that encouragement today. That God loves every one of us in this building. And none of us is worthy on our own account. Like, I don't float up to the pulpit. None of us have floated up to this. None of us has that worth. But in Jesus Christ, we do. Because He sees us as the beloved of Him and meets us there and gives us that encouragement. He saves us from all of our shortcomings, all of our sin. George, you and I have had a front row seat to this. And I know you've watched the story continue to unfold in your own life, but also at New Song. And I just want to give you a shot at giving us a word of encouragement about the ongoing work of Christ.
Yeah, Dieter and I actually, we Skyped a couple of weeks ago, and you were talking about how you just want to be a blessing to the church and to others. And, you know, during this period when I left the lead pastor position in May, you know, that's a hard journey in that you have 29 years of ministry, pastoral ministry, in with that, and there's a sort of a tearing that's involved, a refashioning of your identity and things like that. And then I would have people come up to me and they would say, you know, how are you and God doing? And my response was this: I'm certain God is doing just fine. And I find myself journeying back through the muck and the mire, right? And that we go back there, whether it's, you know, I still struggle with ankylosing spondylitis, which is an arthritic disease, and we watch the cardboard testimonies, what you've walked through, and that story of faithfulness. I'm certain God is doing just fine, and that's something to rest on, to relax in. And Dieter, you had mentioned to me, I think you've mentioned to others too, is you feel free now in that. Is that true? Does that describe it accurately?
It's funny. It's years ago, it's a super sheep thing, but I'm scared every day. Going to talk, going to speak. I go home, I'm scared. But it's funny, it's that it's nothing, it's gone. I am free, but it's God, it's not me.
I've always enjoyed, I mean, the things that I've learned through here, and I think still is happening at New Song, is that we help clear the way for people to see Jesus more clearly. Mm-hmm. And I remember years ago, it was Dallas Willard who said it, and I borrowed it, of course. I said it during a sermon one time. I said, you know, Jesus is the smartest man that has ever lived. And if you can find someone smarter than him, then follow him. And there was a young man in the service who was Buddhist, and he came up and he said, I took your words seriously. And he says, I can't find anyone else. And he became a Christian, and he followed Jesus, and he gave up his Buddhism to follow Jesus. And that same thing remains true today. I can't find anyone better. I teach on Aristotle and Plato and all the big thinkers, John Locke, who, you know, and they don't match up to Jesus. And I think that's something for us to remember, that we have a smart, resurrected Lord, and that's worth sacrificing your life for pointing to, whether in janitorial work, teaching work, whatever position we have, it's all holy. So I like that word.
Amen. We used to have a mantra around here. It was, New Song, or the church, is not a hotel for saints, but a hospital for sinners. That means every one of us has space, right? Because God's the one doing the work. God's the one who gets glory for it when He engages us, meets us at our need and heals us ongoing. I love the passage that says, I will not restrict my lips from sharing testimony in the gathered assembly. That's kind of what we did with the cardboard testimonies. And we could do countless more, right? We could parade across the stage the many, many, many stories represented in this church over the course of years, pointing the way to Jesus Christ and his accomplishment, pointing the way to what actually got done in people's hearts and lives, and introducing us to ourselves, lifting fear and anxiety and the stuff that isn't about God. Mm. I don't know that busyness should be in the vocabulary of a Christ follower, right? It was, is for me. Mm. And yet God is continuing to heal me from that and bring an intimacy with him. Man, I want that for myself, but for the church, to give testimony to the Lord. New song's in a transition, and yet I look at the unfolding of God's story quite literally over the years in anticipation for what he'll continue to do in the years to come. Yeah. Any words of encouragement for the church as we continue to lean into the Lord and anticipate what he's going to do?
Okay. Well, I'm thinking, I talk with you and you, I'm proud of you. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, it's going to my vision, and we go, and that going to that church or the school, and years ago we go, come, going to the new song, come. But years ago, the body is large, and the skeleton is small. But now I'm watching you, and I'm thinking your skeleton is large now. And thinking I am challenging you, not going to church, it thinking going back, going to the neighbors now, going to your church or going to your neighbors, yeah, and thinking not going go, come. It's knowing going to your neighbor, it's kingdom things. Thinking simple, okay.
Amen. Any challenges or encouragements from you, George, as the church presses forward? Yeah,
Deidre said that last time. It was great. It's a great image. It's something to hold on to. I've got the chance to partner with Tracy for all these years, and that's been a huge, huge blessing. And it's always been, we had a place in New Zealand because we could serve. And we said we would always have a place because we serve. And we didn't want to just observe, but we wanted to serve. And that was a key thing. And also just how acts of kindness can go a long way. I was reading recently the Bible, of course, but also The Hobbit. And I was rereading it, and a quote jumped out at me, and it reminded me for this time that it would fit. This is Gandalf talking, and he says, Saruman believes it is only great power that can hold evil in check, but that is not what I have found. I have found that it is the very small deeds of ordinary folk that keep the darkness at bay, small acts of kindness and love. That's what keeps evil at bay. And I think not only just little notes that people have written to Tracy and I and our family, but I could go around all the different investments that people have made in our lives. I hope in my prayer, and I think I know it, that New Song will continue to do those small acts of kindness and love that will keep evil at bay. And we don't have to worry about larger systems doing it for us, that we can do it on our own with God.
It's kind of that reverse hospitality, church, that we've been talking about. How we become present to the person right in front of us. How we live with integrity and consistency to who we are. And we don't miss those moments. They may not seem grandiose. They may not be on the platform of a church. I say better. When we live consistently among those who might not yet know Jesus, who in that exchange with us might see for the first time what a loving, tangible act is that is representative of Christ. And maybe that moment where they're introduced to the love that's right there, we get to be part of God's movement in this world. I came to New Song because it was this remarkable place, living out in tangible form, this active, almost radical Christianity. And in the significance of that, that's one thing, something I wanted to be part of. I'd love to call out New Song to live into itself, to lean on this strong skeleton structure and not hold back, with unrestricted lips, be able to live out your faith journey with Jesus among those who you live near, work with, go to school with. When we do that, we become an impact player for the kingdom. Really, we get to join God in what he's up to in this world. See, God's in the business of healing broken lives and making whole disciples. And the great invitation we have is to join him in that process. Like, the good news is really good news, not just okay news. Like, it isn't just some sidebar. He wants to transform all of who we are for him. That we get to be these passionate Christ followers, living fully for him with this newfound love that we experience because of intimacy with him. That's the type of love that I want us as a church community living out every day of our lives, everywhere that we go, every person with whom we interact. Because when we do that, we live into what the identity of a Christ follower is about. And I pray that this church continues to rise up. I know that when we do, Jesus will continue to change lives. And I know when that happens, we'll have a parade after parade after parade of testimonies as people give word, thanking God for his faithfulness ongoing. And that this church will continue to see fruit for the kingdom. Thank you for being here. Thank you for not being sidelined. Thank you for jumping into the game and partnering with God. And I pray that God continues to touch lives through this church. It's a call of Christ upon this place. Risk everything in obedience to Christ, we say. Let's do that as a church community. Would you help me thank our former lead pastors?